Let us pray. Almighty God, you have poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light, enkindled in our hearts, may shine forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. A man flew into Chicago O'Hare and hired a taxi to take him downtown. As he was riding along, they came to a red light, and the driver drove right on through it. The man said, Hey, that light was red. You're supposed to stop. The driver replied, Yeah, I know, but my brother does it all the time. Soon they came to a second red light, and again he drove straight through it. The passenger, growing more anxious, blurted out, You're going to get us killed. That light was red. Why didn't you stop? The driver yelled back, It's no problem. My brother does it all the time. Then they came to a green light, and the driver completely stopped. The man exclaimed, The light is green. Now is the time to go. Why don't you go on through? To which the driver answered back, I know it's green, but you never know when my brother will be coming through. Light is life, my brothers and sisters. It's needed for our food to be synthesized. It's needed for our skin to thrive. It's needed for our vision, whereby we see the colors of the spectrum. Without it, there would be only darkness, and we would see no variety of shades and hues. Light is a form of energy and helps govern the temperature of the earth. It helps different terrains dry up because of the heat. It also helps with evaporation. And as we just saw, it helps with signaling traffic and navigation. So don't run any red lights. But what does it mean to bear witness to the light of all lights? As we find ourselves in the middle of the Christmas season, today's gospel passage gives us two witnesses that testify to the light of lights, the Lord Jesus. He is the light of the world. The light has come into the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. And Luke gives us an old man and an old woman who testify to who Jesus is, both light and life. Now, the thing we must understand about this is that in the Jewish culture, a testimony was not valid unless it was backed up by at least two witnesses. I really don't think that is Luke's point here, but nevertheless, I believe it's important for us to look at this morning during this Christmas tide. For as the moon reflects the sun, so we, you and I, in Christ, must bear witness to the light of all lights. And what we find here in our text is that God can use anyone at any season in their life to point to Jesus. This morning, then, let us enter in, hearing the testimony of these two witnesses that are so frequently overlooked. And let us see how, in our own day, we may be witnesses to the light. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22, found on page 615. Now, there once was a confrontation between a young boy and his mother. The mother asked her son, Young man, there were two cookies in the pantry this morning. May I ask how it happened that there's only one now? Sounds like my son Jonathan. The boy didn't hesitate for a second, and he answered, It must have been so dark I didn't see the other one. People had been living in darkness for quite a long time now. They were stumbling, the blind leading the blind. But now, because of the birth of Jesus, the prophecy of Isaiah rings out, a people living in darkness have seen a great light. The light of all lights has come. And it is a blinding light. A blinding light. Though he was small in body, Jesus is perceived to be great in his divinity. And faithfully, Joseph and Mary bring Jesus to be presented at the temple in Jerusalem. The Holy Family was extremely pious and devout. They have come not just to present their firstborn to dedicate him unto the Lord, but also for the purification associated with women after childbirth. Some scholars even believe that Joseph offered sacrifices for purification as well, for it is believed that he helped with the delivery of Jesus. This purification ceremony takes place 40 days after Jesus' birth. And the offering they make is not a lamb. It's not a lamb. It's a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. It's an offering made by the poor. So even here, Luke is making a huge statement. Jesus is the true king and ruler of this world. But his kingdom is not a pomp and circumstance and flashiness. He's not like Herod with his grand statements of architecture, or Augustus Caesar with imperial might of the Roman military. Jesus identifies with the lowly. And it is in this context that two witnesses come forward bearing witness to his light and his life. And listen closely, because the two witnesses are not who we think. The first witness is the Spirit of the living God. And the second witness are the saints of God that we see in Simeon and Anna. The Spirit of God leads people to the light of lights. This is a no-brainer. But this is something that is not often emphasized enough in our churches today. But Luke the evangelist so frequently reminds us because we so easily forget it. Simeon, a righteous and devout man, was led to the temple by the Spirit. And the temple he was led to was not just one of wood and stone, but one of flesh and bone. For the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah, the Christ. It is in the act of dedicating Jesus to God, as the law required, that Simeon sees the light of lights. And notice this, Simeon takes the light into his own arms. He embraces it. He cuddles and cradles it. He looks upon the countenance of Jesus' face, and it leads him to praise and to prophecy. Simeon has faithfully and patiently waited for God's promise to come to pass. We don't know how long he had to wait, but throughout Scripture, the saints had to wait on many things for many years. Now the Lord can take him home. For to see Jesus and his light is to see salvation. And Jesus was well worth the wait. For the Song of Simeon reveals Jesus to be light and life in two ways. First, Jesus is the light of the nations. In other words, he is the light to the Gentiles and to the rest of the world. Through this baby, the world will be brought into the light and have life to the full. The Messiah is for all peoples, calling the nations into God's one family. And this is crucial because a lot of Christians don't pick up on this. There is only one family, God's family. He's made one people from everyone because of this child. Secondly, even though the Messiah is for the entire world, he came from one people. Hence, he is the glory of Israel. This glory that is radiant and full of splendor, this glory that once abided on the Temple Mount, now indwells one person from the people of Abraham. For the promised son of old is not just Isaac, it is Christ. This is a phenomenal thing, an astonishing thing. The glory of God has returned onto the Temple Mount, but it returns in the Christ child, the true Holy of Holies. The child who is the glory, the light, and the majesty of God in the flesh, incarnate. And Simeon is overjoyed, even in his old age. He has seen life itself with his own eyes. He has held life itself in his own arms. And Joseph and Mary marvel at what he has spoken because the revelation of who Jesus is and what Jesus has come to do is marvelous. It's astounding. Jesus has come to give light and life. But this light will cause division within Israel. The blinding light of Christ will cause many to fall. Yes, some will oppose this marvelous light. But others will greatly rejoice because of it. And Mary's very soul will be pierced. Now, why is this? Because Mary will look upon her son, Jesus, in dismay. There is no greater rejection than the cross to which he was nailed to. For cursed is anyone who hangs from a tree. but it was because he hung from the tree for you and me and the life of the world. It is because he became a curse for our sakes that we might have the light of life. This is the witness of Simeon. But another human witness emerges immediately after this. The prophet Anna is revealed, and we're not given the details of the prophecy she gives concerning Jesus, but it most assuredly would have been heard on the Temple Mount. She was a devout old woman who was a widow, worshiping God with fasting and with prayer, for she knew that the Lord is a father to the fatherless. She knew that the Lord was a defender of widows, and in the habit of her normal everyday activity. Her normal everyday routine, she encounters the one who gives hope to the hopeless. She sees the dawn of hope in the new temple of Jesus, and she praises God. My friends, we are given this passage during Christmas tide to reflect on our own witness to the light of all lights, the Lord Jesus. The two witnesses in our gospel today are the Spirit and the saints. And what we see is that we too must participate with the Spirit to bear witness to Jesus. And in keeping with the imagery of light today, I'd have us all ponder the moon right now. Think about the moon. You see, the moon reflects the sun's light onto a dark world. And the church is like that too. She reflects the light of the Lord Jesus and the power of the Spirit pointing to the true light that gives light and life to all, to everyone. Jesus, who is the light of the world, calls his people the light of the world. We're only the light because he has lit us up like a candle to shine forth in this dark age. And oftentimes as a pastor, I hear people confess that they are afraid to witness to Jesus. And I don't really get it. I really don't get it because it's never just us doing it. We're never alone. It's God in us doing it. There's the witness of the Spirit and the individual saint together in your everyday normal routine. Two witnesses to the light. And Simeon and Anna were not afraid. They were not. Indeed, they were overcome with joy and with praise, and they just had to talk about Jesus. And that is a wonderful example for us in our own time as we bear witness to Jesus with the Spirit. But the moon doesn't just reflect the light of the sun at night. It also shows the seasons. In other words, it tells the time, the appointed time. The church is like the moon in that as well, because the time is now. Now. Now is the appointed time to call the nations to come into the light. The light that brings life forever. The light that the darkness can never extinguish, never put out. For Jesus has come to impart light and life to us. Risen with healing in his wings. Light and life to all he brings. And the Spirit and the church both bear witness together to the light of all lights. And now is the time to declare it, even in our normal everyday activities, at work, in our neighborhoods, at school, changing diapers. Now is the time. Now is the time to join up with the Spirit and to bear witness to the Lord Jesus. We don't do it alone. We're never alone, even when we think we are. The Spirit of the living God is also living Lord. And he helps us put the spotlight upon the Lord Jesus. We must look and we must listen for him in our everyday activities. My brothers and sisters, may we the saints continue to see and hear the Spirit, for there could be no church without him. And together with him, we are witnesses to Christ, the light and life of all. Let us pray. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior whom you have prepared for all to see, a light to enlighten the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to God the Father, and to God the Son, and to God the Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will forever be. Amen.